We're in Luke chapter 2 this morning. Luke chapter 2. I entitled this, A Message from the Manger. Luke chapter 2. All of the Gospels give us an account of the life of Christ. All of them. Matthew describes Jesus as king. The Gospel of Mark describes our Lord Jesus as a servant. The Gospel of John describes him as the Son of God. And Luke describes him as the Son of Man. In our text this morning, we have an account of the birth of Christ. Now, I don't know about you, but every birth is special. Children may not necessarily be planned, but they're always a gift. Today's world, children are often seen as a nuisance, but not for Jesus. And certainly, this one who we're going to look at today is special, not because just it was a birth. It wasn't just any birth. And I can assure you that probably no one here today experienced a birthday like he had. We're going to look at the account of this. Luke was a physician. And can you believe it? Give it up to a doctor to give us the account of the birth of a baby. And can you believe it? We can actually read his handwriting. Luke chapter 2. Luke's story, it mixes praise with simplicity. The contrast between the birth's commonness and the child's greatness could not be greater. The promised one of Messiah enters his creation as a creature. This is no mere arrival of new life. This birth has value because of whose birth it is. It's hard to believe that the Ancient of Days would become an infant in a lap. We're going to look at this text, Luke chapter 2. And it came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. And this taxing was first made when Cyrenius was governor of Syria. And all went to be taxed, every one into his own city. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, out of the city of Nazareth, into Judea, unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child. And so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes. And laid him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. Let's ask the Lord's blessing in our time. Father, I pray, I'm so humbled to be up here this morning. Thank you for the opportunity, Father. Lord, I pray that as we look at this text this morning, that our hearts would be filled with wonder and praise and adoration for you. I ask, dear God, that you would help us as we look at this text, though it be common. I just pray, Lord, that we would not forget the details. Lord, I pray that you'll bless this time that we're here together. I pray, O Holy Spirit, I pray your heavenly dove would rest on this little preacher. Thank you, Father, for the gift that was given that many years ago. Lord, help us to rejoice in this story today. I pray that you would have your will in your way today. In Jesus' name, amen. I readily admit that I probably cry a gallon of tears every time I speak. Is it not on?
It's not on. I could talk louder. It's not on. I'm sorry. Now is it on? It's still not on. Is it on?
Nope. It's still not on. Okay.
Definitely operator error. That's for sure.
Now maybe it's on. Now it's on.
Is it on? You think it's on. Now it's on. Okay. Well, I'm not going to repeat everything I just said. So Luke chapter 2. If you take notes, I want you to write down the word voyage. The word voyage. There's a journey that happened here. And there are two people that make a journey. They're Mary and Joseph. They were told in verse 1, it says there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. Now, a decree was a written command that had the effect of law. It was something that when it was said, you had no option. It was obey or die, or pay a higher tax, or be put in prison. This decree was given from Caesar Augustus. Caesar was the first of the Roman emperors. And what does it say? It says that this decree was that all the world should be taxed. The Romans thought that their world was all the world. There are still people like that today that think their world is all the world there is. Well, that's what the Romans thought. They thought themselves to be God. So they could say, I'm going to make a decree and what I say is going to go and I'm going to make a taxing. This taxing was for all the world. Verse 2, it says the taxing was first made when Cyrenius was governor of Syria. Then in verse 3, it tells us how that tax was expressed. It says, and all went to be taxed, everyone into his own city. Now, I would probably imagine that for Christmas, most of you will go home. Maybe if you're a college student, you're ready to go home. Maybe you will have children that will come home. They go off to school, but yet they come back because that's where home is. This taxing, everybody had to go back to their home city. This taxing, a Roman census was taken to aid in military conscription or tax collection. Now, these people here, they were Jews. The Jews didn't have to serve in the Roman army, but they could not avoid paying taxes, right? Death and taxes. That seems like what the only two things were guaranteed of today. And that's still true today. This taxing, it literally has the idea of being registered. If you have a social security number, you would be registered. Are you registered to vote? You had to register to get a hunting license. You have to register to have a concealed carry. You have to register to drive a car. These people had to register because the Romans said, I'm going to know who's all in my kingdom. I want to know who's all here, because if I've got so many people here and so many people here and so many people here, I'm going to say that they owe me money. That's what the Romans thought. You live on my land, you pay me taxes. That's what they thought. And in this time here, this registration, there was a voyage of what was going on. It says, and Joseph, verse 4, also went up from Galilee, out of the city of Nazareth, into Judea, under the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David. So what is he doing? He left Nazareth, and he's going to his hometown. That's Bethlehem. Now, I don't know if you've ever been to Bethlehem. Bethlehem is about 5 miles south of Jerusalem. Bethlehem is not a very big town. It's pretty small, actually. If you were to look at Bethlehem, you would see that in its area, the surrounding area, would be hillsides that would be farmers and shepherds. It's more relatively agrarian. It's not a big city. But as we're going to learn later in this story, this little city gets packed pretty quick. They make a voyage. They're going from Nazareth to Bethlehem. Depending on which way they went, which route they took, that's anywhere from 70 to 90 miles. That would be like going from here to Dubuque. Do you want to ride that on a donkey? That's what they did. They made the journey. I mean, this is something that's going to take time. It's not like, honey, let's get in the car and go. This was a journey. This voyage took preparation. They had to take victuals with them. They would have had to take food and water. They would have had to take clothing. They would have had to prepare for the journey. In Micah chapter 5 and verse 2, we are told that 700 years before the birth of Christ, this very moment, this is what we're looking at right now, was prophesied 700 years before. I think God knows what he's doing when he gave us this book. When we look at this and we see this, this is no mere accident.
This is not coincidence. Do you realize that Luke chapter 2, do you realize that the birth of this baby changed the entire course of human history? It changed life. You and I would not be in this building. We would not associate with one another. This place would not exist if this man had not been born. And a doctor tells us about it. He says that this taxing, this registration, these people, Mary and Joseph, they make this journey. They're going to Bethlehem. Do you know what Bethlehem means? It means house of bread. In John chapter 6, you know what Jesus described himself as? The bread of life. Isn't it fitting that the one who would lay it in a manger would be called the breath of life and go to David's hometown, the city of bread? Jesus was born in Bethlehem. It says in verse 5, to be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife. Today we would call that being engaged. This is the betrothal period in Jewish law, or in Jewish custom. When you were betrothed to someone, you were engaged. And literally, if you were engaged, you were looked at as if you were already a couple. Though you're not, it's like you're engaged and now there are steps being made and plans to get to the wedding and have the feast and all that. But there's a process. There's a time. The right thing at the wrong time is the wrong thing. They're espoused together. Mary makes this journey. She's leaving her homeland as well. She's going with Joseph because they're going to be married, and she's going to register with him because eventually they will tie the knot and they will be husband and wife, but not yet. That's important to know. It says in verse 5, to be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child. If you've ever been pregnant, sometimes you feel that way. I am great with child. It says in verse 6, and so it was that while they were there, I love how a doctor puts this. The days were accomplished. Literally, that means she's ready. You moms, you know what it's like when you're with child and you're like, how's it going? Well, it's okay. And you get to that moment and it's like, the days are accomplished. Okay, we got to go. We got to go to the hospital. Pedal to the metal, let's go. Right? Luke says the days were accomplished, or the days were fulfilled. In her pregnancy, the days were fulfilled that she should be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes. I don't know why I get choked up about that. I've delivered a lot of babies in my day, but I tell you what, this would have been the most special birth ever. Wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. Now think about this. What did Mary do? Mary was told that she was going to have a baby. She was told. She had never had marital relations with another man. She's told that she's going to have a child. Now, we don't know how old Mary is. She's probably a teenager. Some have said 13, 15, 18. She's probably less than 20, so a very young girl. And for whatever reason, God chose her to allow the baby to be born. Mary was not perfect. Mary was an amazing woman, but she was still a sinner. You see, in Luke chapter 1, it says, I rejoice in God, my Savior. If Mary could say she was perfect, then she wouldn't need a Savior. We all need a Savior. Mary needed a Savior. But what did Mary do? Mary was told by the Holy Ghost. I mean, this didn't make sense to her. I mean, belly's starting to get big, and she, whoa, what's going on here? She was told that she was going to have a child of the Holy Ghost. Now, an angel's the one that told her, and quite frankly, it probably needed some explanation because she would not know what's going on. Her body was going to be going through some changes. She was going to be ridiculed. So she was told that she was going to have a child. So think about Joseph now. Joseph finds out that Mary is pregnant, and Joseph's beside himself. What we read in Matthew chapter 1, you know what Joseph wanted to do? The Bible says he was a just man. He was an honest man. He loved Mary. I know he did, because you know what the Bible says? He wanted to put her away. Literally, he wanted to divorce her. Now, they weren't married, but they were engaged. An engagement is almost like they're married. But Joseph says, this doesn't look right. I know we weren't together, Mary. Can you explain this? I mean, it would have taken some explaining, don't you think? Because if he looked at Mary, this woman that he loved, and she starts to get bigger, he's going to say, Mary, What happened? You know what Joseph would think? Mary, you've been unfaithful. I mean, that's what anybody would think. You've been unfaithful. So now he's got to question their relationship. And the Bible says that he goes to sleep and an angel tells him, Joseph, listen, I got to explain this to you. What is in Mary is of the Holy Ghost. It's okay. You can take her to be your wife. You've done nothing wrong, but you're going to be a part of an amazing plan. And I'm choosing you, Joseph. You know why? Because you're of the house and lineage of David. You two are going to get married, but not yet. You haven't had marital relations yet, I understand, but she's going to have a baby, and it's going to be a son. That was the first ultrasound, by the way. He's going to have a son, and you know what? You're going to call his name Jesus, and you know what he's going to do? He's going to save all people from their sins. Can you imagine Joseph? Can you imagine what's going through his mind? So now when this decree happens, they're together. Now they're going on this journey, I'm sure. He let her ride the donkey. I'm sure he didn't ride and say, Mary, no, this will help your pregnancy. Keep going. You take the donkey. No. I'm sure he let her ride. And as they're going, can you imagine their conversation? Mary, we're gonna go to Bethlehem. And people are gonna think we're married because you're pregnant and we're together. There's no one else. I mean, they're gonna think we're married. So it's gonna take some explaining to do, Mary, and I'll do that. I mean, he loved her. He wanted to protect her. Man, you should seek to protect your wife. He wanted to protect the one that he loved. They make this journey. They make this voyage. They go to the inn. Now, this inn, this is not like our hotels today and our motels, right? This would have been an area where they could have come. Now, remember, all of Bethlehem is going to get packed with people because this census, this registration, is bringing all of these people to this area. You imagine the crowds that would have gathered. Imagine the people. And so it's taking some time for them to go from Nazareth to Bethlehem. And as they get there, as they're registering, as they're in the process, they don't find any room. I mean, they live in Nazareth. They live 90 miles away. So, I mean, how are they going to tell somebody ahead, we got a reservation? They didn't do that. They went there, and where do they go? They go to a place where it would have been common for people to stay, and that was the inn. The inn was a place that was built in the city, and it was actually free. The city had built this brick area, and it was called a caravansary, like a caravan. And it was these rooms that people could stay in. Well, that was full. They go to the innkeeper. Can you imagine? I've done a lot of things in my life that I've regret, but I don't know if I could ever regret being the innkeeper. The innkeeper turned away a pregnant woman being great with child. Can you imagine that? What if someone came to your house? Would you offer them your bed? Your couch? I don't care how full your house is. Would you still offer them something? I would hope so. I would hope I would. As they go there, you know what? I thought maybe one of the reasons that the innkeeper did is he said, oh, you guys are married. Oh, this is wonderful. This is your first baby. Well, we're actually not married. Oh. Maybe that was one of the reasons why the innkeeper said, there's no room here. What shame and disgrace would have been brought on him as the innkeeper to say, you're not married and you got, oh, no, do you? No, we have no room. I mean, I don't know. I don't know why, but for whatever reason, there was no room. No room in the inn. Where do they find themselves? In a stable. Now, I don't know if the stable looks like the wooden structures we see on all the Christmas cards and outside of, all of these other churches and we see a live nativity. I don't know if it looked like that. I don't know what it looked like, but I can tell you where animals are, there are byproducts of animals. And those byproducts are not sold at Bath & Body Works. At our hospital, we try to make it as nice, as clean, as quiet, and as calm as possible for the mom and her husband as they bring this new life into the world. It's a special event. It's a miracle. Mary didn't have that. Joseph wanted to do the best that he could. And so can you imagine, she says, Joseph, buddy, I'm going to need your help here. And he's like, what am I supposed to do? I've never done this before. And she would say, well, I haven't either, but you're going to have to help me. I can imagine Joseph saying, you know what, I'll move the donkey and I'll put up a curtain. And I'm sure he wanted to respect her privacy. I'm sure that he wanted to protect his love for her because it was a sacred event, what she was going through. And the Bible says that after that baby was born, you know what Mary did? She wrapped him in swaddling clothes. Do you know what swaddling clothes were? They were clothes that you put on dead people. That you wrapped them in to keep the body and the tissues from extravaganzing. You wrapped them in that. Isn't it fitting that the baby was wrapped in clothes and you put a dead person in? You and I were born and we will die. Jesus was born to die. And Mary, she wrapped him in swaddling clothes and she laid him in a manger. Again, a manger. There are only three times in the entire Bible that the word manger is used, and they're used in this passage. They're used in verse 7, they're used in verse 12, and used in verse 16. It's the only time in all the Bible that the word manger is used. It literally means a feeding trough. It's a crib for food. Now, they probably would have had a donkey that they rode on, so they probably want to feed it. I mean, where do you put a baby? Have you ever seen a baby that's like minutes old? It's so tiny. It's so precious. It's so fragile. Squawking, squealing. You hope they cry. Can you imagine this little thing? What does she do? She wraps him in swaddling clothes. And Joseph trying to do the best he can in the situation, in the circumstances. He's like, Mary, this will have to do. The manger doesn't look like what's on your Christmas cards either. All whitewashed and clean and all, it's real nice. And the hay and the straw, you know, it's all put there. And baby Jesus is delicately laid there. I don't think that's what it looked like. I think it's, he picks it up, dumps it over, kicks out the food, puts it up. Mary, this will have to do. I think he did the best he could with what he had. You think of the significance of a manger, the poverty of his parents. Mary and Joseph were not wealthy. They didn't call ahead and have an entourage and say, listen, we're coming. I'm of the house and lineage of David. My name's Joseph and this is Mary. We're coming. They were poor. They were relying on the benevolence of an innkeeper who couldn't even give them a room. He gave them a stable. Also, we think of the corruption and the degeneracy of the manners of that age. If you saw a pregnant woman, men, if you ever go to a store and a pregnant woman has come, did you open the door for her? You should. Where's our manners today? Out the window? It's still okay to be kind. Did you know that? Manners, I want to teach my sons manners. Open the door for women. Open the door for other people. You don't open the door. I'm going in first. Where does that come from? Life is not about me, 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 me. It should be about other people. That's what Jesus did. He came for others. The significance of this, it showed the humiliation of our Lord. The King of Kings, his first crib was a feeding trough. When our son, oldest son Nova, was born, we knew we were going to have a child. We didn't know if it was a boy or girl. We chose not to find out. And my dad made a cradle. My dad is a craftsman. He made it exactly the way we wanted it. It was all custom done. He sanded it. He put it together and it rocks. And you know what? I still have it. It's a precious gift that every time I see that, I see the handiwork that went into that. And I know when I look at that, I know the time and the effort. And I know what that cradle held, each one of my children. Did you know that Mary's dad never made baby Jesus a cradle? Joseph didn't even do that. They were on a journey, a 90-mile journey on a donkey. They finally get to Bethlehem. She's going to be great with child. She delivers the baby. He's in a manger. And she's just sitting there. And can you imagine everything that's going through Mary's heart? I mean, she's just happy this event is over. And she's, you know, recovering. I could not imagine what it would have been like to have been there that day. The Ancient of Days, the one who was never, ever created, who was here from the foundation of the world, entered our world 2,000 years ago, and because of his gift, we have eternal life. Because of that gift right there, he didn't have to come. Mary and Joseph, they went on a voyage. But there is somebody else in our text here. They made a voyage too. Notice what it says in verse 8. And were in their same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. Let's stop right there. The shepherds were on the hillside in Bethlehem. Like I said, Bethlehem is a real small town. You can see out in the fields, and there are shepherds. There are farmers out there. Do you know what I find interesting? The angels don't tell the priests, hey, the Messiah is here. They don't go tell the rabbis that are sitting in the temple looking at all the scrolls. They don't tell them. They don't tell anybody else. You know who they tell? They told shepherds. And you know what shepherds were? Shepherds, this was not a noble occupation. If you didn't have a trade, if you weren't a tent maker, if you weren't a bricklayer, if you weren't a carpenter, if you didn't have something, a fisherman, if you didn't have the trade, what would you do? You'd get a few sheep and say, I'm a shepherd. That's what you were. These common folk, these men who, humble occupation, they're not filthy rich people. They're just striving to make a living, earning. They don't even live paycheck to paycheck. They live animal to animal. These shepherds, it says in verse 9, the angel of the Lord came upon them. The glory of the Lord shone round about. They were sore afraid. Now, the angel of the Lord, in the Bible, we are only told the names of three angels that have ever been named by God. One was Lucifer. He was Satan. He fell from heaven. Lucifer. The second one was Michael. The Bible says he's the archangel. Michael is the one that is in charge of the governance of mankind. And also, there's the angel Gabriel. Gabriel was a messenger. All angels are messengers. But we're specifically told that the angel of the Lord here probably is the angel Gabriel. We think that because in chapter 1, the angel Gabriel was also the one involved in telling Zechariah and Elizabeth that they were going to have a son. So probably this is the same one. This is probably Gabriel. Now, I don't know about you, but if you're outside at night and you're normally doing your thing, right? They were taking care of the sheep at night. What is that? I mean, can you imagine? Can you imagine seeing that? I'm sure that's something they've never saw before. The angel of the Lord came, and it says they were afraid. I'd be afraid too. It says, what's the angel said unto them? Fear not. I love that. He tells them, listen, you don't have to be afraid, because I've got a message for you that you've been waiting your entire life for. You don't have to be afraid. Fear not. For behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. You know what this is? This is a public message. He says, I'm bringing you good joy. It'll be to joy to all people. When the angels came, they announced the birth to shepherds, but they told the shepherds that this gift that is coming, this one who I'm going to just about tell you about, this is for all people. We don't believe that the Bible teaches a limited atonement, that Jesus came and he died on a cross only for a select few. He only died for the Americans that look like us. No, that's not what the Bible says. He didn't die for those that, you know, well, it's just a select few that he died for. No, that's not what the Bible says. The Bible says that he came for everyone. It doesn't matter the skin color that you have. It doesn't matter if your intellect is 150 or single digits. He came for everyone. And that's what he told. It's a public message. But then it goes on, just not just everybody. The angels kind of clarified a little bit more. They say, for unto you shepherds. Yeah. Now, I don't know how many shepherds there were. There were at least two. Our English language is a plural word. There were at least two. There could have been 12. There could have been 50. I don't know how many there were. But they said, listen, unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior. It's a public message. It's a personal message. But guess what? It's a pardoning message. Because this Savior. Now listen, you think about this. Shepherds are involved with sheep. And sheep grow their flock by having babies. The first live birth I ever saw, I was a little boy, and I saw a lamb give birth. It was a ewe give birth to a lamb. I saw that. It was the first time. They were probably 10 or 15 feet away, and I was mesmerized. Absolutely in awe of this process. And I remember my dad was there, and it was just me, and we were on the fence. My dad said, you just watch. Don't you dare get close. He said, you just stay back, and you just watch. And over a course of, you know, a matter of minutes, I watched that mom very delicately take care of that lamb, clean her up, take care of her. God put it within a mom to do that. The shepherds would have seen birds all the time. They would have seen these lambs. But guess what? These shepherds who saw lambs, they were invited to see the Lamb of God. They were just the ones that were the offered. It wasn't given to the priests. It wasn't given to the rabbis. It wasn't given to anybody else, but common shepherds. They say, listen, unto you is born this day in the city of David, a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. Do you realize that the incarnation of Jesus Christ was the most hoped for thing in all of Israel? That's what every Jew looked forward to. And today, those people who are Jews, who are Messianic Jews, they believe that he came. This one, this baby that was born in the city of David, right? Bethlehem. He came. And shepherds were first told. Who else was shepherds? Abraham was a shepherd. Isaac was a shepherd. Many of the great patriarchs were shepherds. Moses, Joseph, and David. David was a shepherd. Some might see a shepherd boy. God saw a king. And this one who was born in the city of David, a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. Verse 12, and this shall be a sign unto you. It usually happens that way. God gives his word, and then he validates it with a sign. That's what he says. This sign shall be unto you. You shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. The shepherds would have known what a manger was. A manger? Why is this promised one of Israel, why is the greatest baby that was ever born, why is he in a feeding trough? Shepherds would have known what sheep eat out of. Why is that his crib? Why isn't it laden with gold? Why isn't it ornate? Why a manger? You will find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill towards men. Do you realize that that verse right there, Luke chapter 2, verse 14, do you realize that that sums up the entire Bible? The whole thing. What did the angel say? So Gabriel comes down and he tells the shepherds, hey, listen, there's a baby being born right now. It's in the city of David. You guys are invited to go. And guess what? All these people, they left heaven. The choir of heaven came down. And they're I don't know if they said it or sang it. I don't know. But the Bible says that they were glorifying and praising God. Glory to God in the highest. Do you know that everything that God does is for his glory? You might be going through something right now and you think, no. There's no way this is for God's glory. Give him time. It never looks good on the backside of a piece of yarn work, but you turn it over and then you see the beautiful picture. Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace. Did you know that God is peace? He's not the author of confusion. He's not the author of disorder. God is peace. If you don't have peace in your life, it could be that Jesus isn't there. Maybe you have no room for Jesus. Maybe your life is falling apart. You have no joy. You have no peace. You don't give God glory because you don't know what that is. You need to let Jesus in your heart. You need to make room for him. He wants to come. Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace. I don't know about you, but one of the things I'm looking forward to in heaven is unwavering peace. There's no war, there's no turmoil, there's no earthquakes, there's no fire, there's no sickness, there's no disease, there's no death. That's peace. Glory to God on the highest, and on earth peace. And then what happens? Goodwill towards men. Somebody used to say, oh, I were at the store the other day and they said, oh, good, I just love the spirit of Christmas. What is the spirit of Christmas? What is that? Benevolence, giving, kindness. You know what the spirit of Christmas is? It's Jesus. Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill towards men. Do you know that more people give things away during the month of December because there's that spirit, that's benevolence. And many times that's a cover up for actually obeying the Lord. They just say, well, I'll just give some money and that'll appease my conscience. Sometimes people do that. D.L. Moody said that heaven's choir came down to sing as heaven's king came down to serve. Can you imagine that the sinless came to die for the sinful? That's why he came. I don't know about you, but when our children were born, I wanted to make the best environment. I wanted to have the best place for them to come home to. Jesus didn't come to our earth in the best circumstances. But you know what? He left it better after he left. That's why we're here today. We celebrate the birth and the burial and the death and burial and resurrection of Jesus. Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill towards men. Notice verse 15. Oh, I love this. If you're taking notes, here's the viewing. The viewing. First we had the voyage, and now we have the viewing. And verse 15, and it came to pass, as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another. Oh. Listen, if you circle words in your Bible, you need to circle these four words. Let us now go. Let us now go, even into Bethlehem, and see this thing which has come to pass, which the Lord hath made known to us. We got to go. Now, I don't know where their sheep were. I mean, they were out at night. The Bible says that they were tending their flock at night. Do you know what comes to sheep at night? Predators. Wolves, cougars, mountain lions, bears. Now, I don't know if they were in Bethlehem at that time, but you get the picture. They were predators. And if a shepherd doesn't watch his sheep, he will soon lose them. Now, I don't know what these shepherds did. I don't know if they put them in the sheepfold. I don't know if they had a hireling that said, hey, listen, we're going. You watch over the sheep. I don't know if we'll be back or when. But it says, guys, you know what they didn't do? They didn't call in a committee meeting of, you know, shepherds of Bethlehem and say, you know, we got to think about this. What should we do? Should we go tell the priests? Should we ask them? Should we, like, you know, we got to get permission to go into town? I mean, it's going to be busy. It's night. I mean, you know, what do we get? No. They didn't do any of that. You know what they did? Guys, we got to go. We got to go see this. We got to look at this. Let us now go. And it says in verse 16, and they came with haste. That word haste, it literally means swiftly. Now, I don't know about you. Sometimes I love to watch people run. I think these shepherds, I think they were in a hurry. You know what I find very interesting? It says, and they came with haste. And what does it say? And they found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. You know what? Follow me very carefully. You know what they were doing? They were searching for Jesus. Why? Because somebody told them where he was. They found what they were looking for. I mean, who directed them? I don't know. Probably the Holy Ghost. I mean, you think of all the people that are in Bethlehem. Everyone is there for the taxing. Everyone is there for the registration. Everyone is there. How are a bunch of no-name shepherds going to come into town and say, are you the baby? Are you the baby? Are you the baby? No, what are they looking for? They're looking for a manger. I mean, a manger is not going to be in a palace. A manger is not going to be in, you know, city square. It's in the most obscure. It's kind of off the beaten path. And I really believe that the Holy Spirit directs them. And can you imagine? Can you imagine this? The shepherds, they come in. I just picture in my mind that these shepherds, I have to think that Mary is sitting down, because that's what you do after you have a baby, ladies, you sit down. And I can imagine she's holding her baby. Can you imagine those shepherds? Oh, I could just imagine that it's like they get down on one knee, or they just like, have you ever seen a baby that's hours old? So small and frail. Shepherds would have, they've seen live births. Can you imagine looking at this baby? Have you ever been in a situation where you don't have to say anything because you know how special it is? Have you ever been in a situation like that? I have to believe that those shepherds didn't say anything. When they were there and they could just, the thing that they hoped for their whole life and everything that was told them, everything. They probably had those sheep because they were having sheep, because those sheep were the ones that were going to be bought and they were the ones that were going to be sacrificed. The Passover was coming. Can you imagine everything that's wrapped up in that little baby? Can you imagine looking at that child and thinking, that's our hope right there. They found what they were looking for. It says they came with haste. They found Mary and Joseph. I just can't even imagine what that would have been like. Let us now go. The Lord's message took priority. It says in verse 17, and when they had seen it, yeah, they found it. When they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. They made known abroad. Your last word, if you will, is the word voice. First they made a voyage, then there was the viewing, and now there's a voice. What does it say they do? When they saw it, they made known abroad. You know what the shepherds did? The shepherds went from working shepherds to witnessing shepherds. They said, listen, I got to tell you what I just saw. I got to tell you. I was out in the field last night and I was working and I came in and the Bible says that they made known abroad. You know what the shepherds did? They didn't go to the rabbis and say, how do I say this right? How do I tell people like what the Old Testament says? How do I get this ready? How do I like put it in a little sermonette on a, you know, 3x5 piece of stone? How do I say this to people? You know what they did? They spoke what they saw. They said what they experienced. And what they experienced was the truth. It says, and when they came, when they had seen it, they made note abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all they that heard it wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds. They wondered, who are these guys? Aren't these the guys that are out on the hill taking care of like sheep? I mean, they kind of smell. Who are these guys? And can you imagine? The shepherds, they wanted to tell everybody that they were there. You know what that tells me? That tells me that when you have something in your heart that is so strong and is so powerful and that you believe it with all of your heart, you know what you will do? You will tell somebody. You will tell somebody. If I found the cure for cancer and I held it to myself, you know what that would be? Selfish. But I'm here to tell you that there are so many people that have cancer of the soul, and I've got the cure right here. We need to tell them. It's a free gift. You don't have to make an appointment. You don't have to go somewhere. You're not put in a 3-month waiting list. Take the medicine. You'll be cured. The shepherds were telling everyone what they saw. It says in verse 19, we can't forget about Mary. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. I can just imagine everything that's going through Mary's mind. I mean, she has just experienced a major life event. Not only has she left Nazareth and she's come to Bethlehem, she's brought her firstborn child into this world. Leave it to Dr. Luke to affirm the virgin birth. He was born to a virgin. And the Bible says Mary, she kept all these things. She pondered them in her heart. Can I encourage you this Christmas? Ponder the real meaning of Christmas in your heart. These shepherds, it says in verse 20, and the shepherds returned. Where did they go? They didn't go to the town square. They didn't go to the Bethlehem press and say, hey, we got to write this up. Where did they go? They returned. They went back to their work. They went back to their flock. They went back to what they were doing. They didn't stop. They didn't quit. They went back to doing what God told them to do. Can I encourage you this Christmas? Take him with you where you go. Take him with you to work. If somebody says happy holidays, you say, no. Merry Christmas. You know what the shepherds did? They told everybody and they went back to work. Yesterday, my children and a few of my nieces and nephews, we rang the bell for the Salvation Army. Yesterday in our town, we rang the bell. The Salvation Army was started by a man named William Booth. He was a clergyman. And William Booth wanted to have a great church. He wanted to be a blessing to those around. But you know what he found? He found that all the clergy of the day wanted people inside, but they didn't want to take care of the people outside. So you know what William Booth did? He said, look at all these people. Look at all the homeless people and the drunks and the prostitutes and the thieves and look at all these people, the unlovable, if you will. And you know what William Booth did? He said, honey, Catherine, that was his wife. He said, honey, we got to minister to these people. And the clergy of the day said, leave them alone. What money are they going to bring into the church? What good are they? They're ragged. They're the unlovable people. And there was such a burning within William Booth's heart that he said, I've got to help those people. In 1865, the Salvation Army was created by one man and one woman who said, God's done something in me and I want to love the unlovable. And yesterday, when we rang that bell, I'm doing something with my kids that was started 157 years ago by a man and a woman who wanted to love the unlovable. And as people were coming in and out of the establishment that we were, I thought, I wonder how many drunks are coming in and out of here. I wonder how many thieves. I wonder how many prostitutes. I wonder how many people who have absolutely nothing to live for. Ring the bell. You know what was interesting? When I would say Merry Christmas, many of them would respond, Merry Christmas. They'd go into the store and they'd come out, Merry Christmas, Merry Christmas. These shepherds, you know what they did? They went back to work. They went to their sphere of influence and they took the message that had changed their life. I don't think any one of those shepherds ever forgot that. Can you imagine them going home for breakfast that morning? Oh, kids, you got to get around. I got to tell you what happened last night. You sit down. I know mom's making breakfast, but I know you got to sit down. I got to tell you the story. And can you imagine the ripple effect that would have had? Why? Because what they saw, they believed, and what they believed affected how they behaved. Folks, listen, if what you believe does not affect and change the way you behave, then you ought to change what you believe. If Jesus Christ really is the reason, if he really did die on that cross, if he really did come to a manger, then why are you here? What is Christmas to you? Is it I got to go to the store and get in the mad dash and wait a half hour in line to buy this one item for the person I love? Is that what Christmas is to you? Or is Christmas about the gift that was given to us 2,000 years ago in a manger? The nativity of the Christ child. The word nativity, it literally means events surrounding the occasion of his birth. Don't ever forget that the reason we gather, the reason we give gifts, the reason that we come together, the reason that we celebrate, the reason that we do that is because Jesus had a birthday. You get gifts for your birthday. What are you giving to Jesus for his birthday? It says that they returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen as it was told unto them. They were glorifying and praising God. Did you know this? That's what the angels do now. Did you know that? They glorify, they praise God. That's what they're doing in heaven right now. And do you know that when we get to heaven, we will do that too. We will glorify God. We will praise God. Now listen, I know heaven's going to be a whole lot different than it is right now here on earth, but I don't want heaven to be a culture shock for me. I want God to know that I want to praise him now. I want to glorify him now. I want to honor him now. I've got one life to live. My life will soon be over. 100 years from now, it will not matter the house I have. It will not matter the car I drive. It will not matter the job that I have. What will matter is, what did I do with this baby that was born 2,000 years ago? What did I do with the gift that I've been given? If I have $100 and I give it to you, I don't have it anymore. You have it. You know the gift of Jesus? I can give him all of you and I still have all of him. Jesus can be multiplied and never divided. Do you know what God has? God has double vision. God can see where you're at and he can see where he wants you to be. When Jesus came to this earth, it wasn't the best of conditions. The King of Kings wasn't born in a palace. He didn't have a golden cradle. He doesn't have all these servants around him. Who are his servants today? You. Me. We get to serve the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Oh, he's the king. He just hasn't had his inauguration yet. It will be happening. It will come. He came once, and folks, can I remind you? Can I encourage you? He's coming again. And we got to be ready. What if the shepherd said, you know what? I'm not going to go to work tonight. I'm going to call in sick. I got a vacation day, so I'm going to use it. What if they wouldn't have gone to work that day? You know what? They would have missed the message. Don't be unfaithful in what God's called you to do. The shepherds, they saw something that I wish I could have seen as well. Eye hath not seen, ear hath not heard, neither hath it entered into the heart of man, the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. This Christmas, our world celebrates many things, but I trust that you will never forget that the greatest gift ever given was 2,000 years ago by a teenage woman and a confused espoused husband in a situation that was less than favorable for a new baby coming into this world. Don't ever forget, as was mentioned before, Jesus is the only reason for the season. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, thank you for this time that we can be here today. Lord, I thank you for these dear people that have gathered. Oh, Father, may we never forget the magic of Christmas. Lord, as we go about our travels, as we see mangers, help it to remind us of that precious baby that you sent, you gave him to us. Oh, Father, I pray we would cherish the gift. I pray we would share the gift. I pray, Lord, that this Christmas season would not be about the hubbub and the busyness and going everywhere. Oh, Father, may we, like Mary, ponder all these things in our heart. Those of you that are here today, I want to ask you a question. Maybe you don't know that Jesus is your Savior. Maybe you're here today and you've come here today, and I'm so glad you're here, but maybe you're not a Christian. Well, what is a Christian? A Christian is someone who believes that they're a sinner and that Christ died on that cross for them, and he came for us. He didn't have to come, but he did. Maybe you're here today and you've never received the gift of Jesus. Can I invite you? I just want to invite you to ask Jesus to be your gift. Heavenly Father, I pray that you would bless our time here together. Thank you for allowing us to be here. Lord, I pray you would bless the invitation to follow. May you have your will and your way. In Jesus' name, amen.